This is Brandon Marshall Havener bringing you another episode of the Sorry I Offended You podcast with Brandon Marshall Havener. That's like the title. Now, it's not even, I can't even officially say the intro unless I use my name, full name in the title. Anyway, today I wanted to talk about professionalism in business. You know, mixing in that professionalism with the having fun and being an artist and entertainer, right? Because I think they both have two different energies. The business side of things, you really want that competence and professionalism to be seen. But also as an artist, you want that messy creativity to be seen. So we're going to be touching in on those topics today, inspired by a post that I created yesterday as I'm recording this, but it might be like a year ago after I finally released this podcast. I'm just kidding. I'm probably going to release this podcast a week out. So you're not talking to me from way in the past, just a week younger than I was while listening to this. And it's definitely something that caught a lot of attention and a very good conversation starter. And I think it's good. I think it's good to kind of take some of the conversations that are really hot on social media and expand upon that here in the podcast. P.S., if you're disappointed that I don't have music on this podcast, I am thinking of it. There's a 20% chance that I might add an intro song to this podcast. The reason why I've resisted doing that for so long is because, well, honestly, I kind of like getting straight to the fucking point. And another reason is, well, there's a couple reasons. Another reason is everyone else who has music on their podcast, there's probably like maybe one or two podcasts I actually like the intro songs. So who am I alienating by making music, even though I have impeccable music taste? But a lot of people don't have impeccable music taste. A lot of people choose some shitty music on their podcast. So I don't want to be limited by my own ignorance that I might think a song is fucking fire, because I do have good music taste. But maybe my good music taste would be an expense to listeners who have worse music taste. So basically, if you hear a podcast in the future with an intro song and you don't like that intro song, I'm not the problem. It's actually your lack of music taste. And that would just be a test. And really, it would just be a call to action for you, if you do not like a future intro song to my podcast, to step your game up. That's all it is. Because I've studied the art of hip-hop. Hip-hop is a beautiful music term. And so, like, you know, it's just it's a beautiful music. It's a beautiful music form, a very skilled music form. And that's funny that I mentioned this, because in the morning time, I retweeted something. My Twitter handle is at Brandon M. Havener, if you would like to follow me. It's an up-and-coming social media platform of mine. I'm sort of migrating. I guess I'm not fully migrating away from Facebook necessarily, but I'm kind of like, I don't know. I just had the feeling Facebook is kind of dying out a little bit, even though I'm still getting great engagement on it and all that stuff. But I, you know, I've been like really strategizing on how do I make my presence more known on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter is still kind of an infancy stage for me. But anyway, Zuby tweeted out today that I retweeted. He said, "It's funny how some people see that I'm a rapper and immediately assume I'm unintelligent or uneducated. It's a sign of their own ignorance. The notion that someone can make music and be smart and educated doesn't compute in P brains." And I responded with a retweet. I said, "That's so ignorant. Real hip hop consists of the most intelligent wordsmiths and poets in the modern times. I can see part of this from some of the garbage mainstream promotes. However, it's 2021. Not understanding the real art form is unacceptable." So the beauty of hip hop is the wordplay. You know, you don't have, you know, you have like people like B.O.B. and like some people that learn instruments and stuff like that. So I don't even want to take that away. But, you know, I think a criticism towards hip hop sometimes is like they're just speaking words and they're not singing, even though a lot of hip hop artists today can sing. But that's like the criticism. Like a lot of people in the past, I guess, have seen music as in instrumentation and vocalizing with singing and things like that. But the big highlight for real hip hop is the wordsmith, like the metaphors, the what brings a song together. There's a genre within the genre called conscious rap, which also shouldn't even be a genre because it's a conscious, it's poetry in motion on a beat anyway. But if you really look into hip hop, you find a lot of intelligent, amazing artists who specialize in putting words together and bending the English language in ways that once was not foreseen. They're innovators. So hip hop is a great art form. That's my point here. What's a Stop Woke Act? Before I get to the topic at hand, there's a trending topic, the Stop Woke Act. It looks like DeSantis of Florida, the only sane state that is left in the United States. I'm just kidding. There's some sanity in various states. But Florida has been doing a great job, in my opinion, during this scamdemic thing that's going on. So DeSantis is announcing a Stop the Woke Act to create a private right of action. Okay, so that's interesting. Stop the Woke Act. I think I like the Stop the Woke Act. Even though I haven't listened to it, I think I like it. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting. Yeah, there's some pissed off people. Rogan is trending right now. Maybe I should do a trending aspect of this podcast now that I'm down this rabbit hole. I promise we'll get to the subject. Rogan is trending because he brought on Peter McCullough. Talking about, criticizes Sanjay Gupta for seducing children into getting the shot on Sesame Street. So that'll be an interesting. I'm promoting other people's podcasts on my podcast. What am I doing? Actually, that's a good thing. Promote, share the love. Share the love to podcasts that aren't doing as great as mine, like the Joe Rogan Experience. Anyway, let's get on to the topic at hand. I wrote a post and quote, I said, this is what I said in the post. I said, your coach isn't supposed to wipe your ass for you. Something I've seen with every level of coaching, multiple price points and multiple levels of success are clients approaching coaching with a damsel energy. You need to lead yourself first. Coaching can't help you if you can't get on calls on time or you completely miss calls. You don't respond back for multiple times when they check in with you. You're not even tracking the amount of time you have with that coach. You're constantly letting being confused as an alibi to the point you're not showing up at all, even when prompted to show up. You don't take responsibility for your own end of the commitment. You don't take your investment seriously. I think some of this does have to do with how coaching is commonly marketed to people. But you simply can't have a victim hero relationship with a coach. If you can't get your own shit together, you can't expect somebody else to do it for you. Unless you hire somebody who specializes in wiping your ass. When it comes to a coaching relationship, it's necessary for both people standing in their power in that relationship. And while I say standing in power and transmission there, transition or whatever, transmission, transition, five speed automatic. Anyway, ending that, here's the thing. When I say two people in their own power, of course your coach is leading you, right? But your coach has to be some type of stable container. The coach gets to be some stable container, and the client has to have a level of competence to show up in business. It's like, I think a lot of people get therapy and coaching confused, but also you should probably still be on time for your therapy calls. But people get therapy and coaching confused. And coaching is more of an amplifier to who you are, right? Coaching is helping you and motivating you. Like, take Tom Brady, for example, because I think it's common that we always take sports, for example, when we talk about coaching. If Tom Brady is, like, not showing up to meetings on time and he's not eating his fucking avocado toast, he's not going to win any championships, and the coach is going to have a short leash for him and being like, yo, you're fucking up. You know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady because he's disciplined. He's disciplined in his diet. He coaches himself on the off time. He watches tape. You know, he studies. He, you know, he does witchcraft with his wife. Like, all that stuff is what brings Tom Brady that championship. And the coach can help bring the best out of him and help motivate him and help bring, and maybe even, like, he has trainers that lays out the structure. But if he doesn't show up, if he doesn't do those pliability workouts, if he doesn't do the push-ups, if he doesn't do the pull-ups, if he doesn't do the curls, if he doesn't watch the tape, he's not going anywhere. And he's probably not going to find his ass on a team. Coaching, hiring a coach comes with a lot of responsibility, and being a coach comes with a lot of responsibility. As it was mentioned in the comment section of this thread, you know, someone said, you know, what is so interesting? I had coaches like this who can't get on calls, you know, who can't do that for reals. I am a massive proponent of personal responsibility and no to codependence of any kind. So essentially, you don't want to be on the drama triangle at all in the coaching relationship. So what are some things that I would like to address for both people, whether you are showing up as a client or you are showing up to lead as someone else, and some common pitfalls that I see or I've heard about? Let me take a sip of coffee. So one thing, let's look at the client's end of things. I've had people, when I still did do discovery calls, I've had people who wanted a discovery call, reach out for a discovery call, and we'd have something scheduled. And when I, you know, when you schedule something as a professional, not only are you scheduling that time, but if you're a professional, you prepare for that time, right? You prepare for when that call goes down. I've had moments where people would totally miss a call, then 2 hours later, hit me back and acting like nothing fucking happened. And not even like a time zone. I'll look, I'm like, is this motherfucker, are they in a different time zone? And then I check and they're like, not, they're in the same time zone. And I would clarify, like, it's Eastern time, this time Central time, this time Pacific time, whatever, specific time. This time in the time of the Tokyo, wherever Tokyo, you know, whatever time it is in Tokyo or Australia. I don't know. Why am I trying to, like, name every country? So they show up, like, there's people that will then call you, like, just straight up ring your phone or your Facebook or wherever the fuck you're trying to connect and be like, why aren't you answering? Like, motherfucker, because we scheduled a call 2.5 hours ago, not even 2 hours on the dot ago, like 2 hours and 15 minutes or 2 hours and 24 minutes, some odd number. And somehow you think now is the time to call? Like, what, you know, either I plan a meditation or I got some other call going on or I'm in my creative space. Like, what are you doing? If you don't have that shit together, how the fuck can you run a business? Unless you really have someone holding that in together. But if you are actually operating in that way, there's no way to expand and grow, because you got to keep yourself accountable first. If you can't keep yourself accountable, no one else can keep you accountable. Unless you're hiring somebody to hold in that information and to remind you and to ping you and all that stuff, which shouldn't be necessarily a coach. Maybe it's an assistant that agreed on that specific task that I'm going to remind you of all the things that you have today or some shit. But really, it's just like the foundational level of discipline is so necessary in business. And I think that people, you know, there's a rebel aspect to business. There's an artist form of business. You know, creativity doesn't really come in the same way as professionalism. Messaging doesn't come in the same way as professionalism. Like, I'm not going to try to be extra professional in my languaging on this podcast. But if you don't operate like a professional, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. What other, is there anything else I want? You know, like, completely missing calls. Not responding back multiple times when the coach catches, you know, checks in. And I've seen this on like every level with people, you know, like every level. Every high ticket, low ticket, using confusion as an alibi. So really, you know, in order to be helped, you got to be able to lean into some level of discomfort of taking action rather than using being confused as an excuse. Not taking investments seriously. Like, if you don't take investments seriously, there's many ways you can spend money or invest money in business and throw it all away and burn it down the toilet, however the saying is. There's just so many ways. And in fact, like, this was more in the beginning of my business, I definitely was a bit irresponsible and did not have financial boundaries with my investment, which led me to a bad place temporarily. But that was kind of like, it was sort of like I was trying to prove myself. I was actually very good with money before that point. I'm very good at managing money. I realize I'm more of an architect than anything. I'm more of an architect than a coach, meaning I'm really good at organizing businesses on the back end, having a vision for it, investing money, putting it in certain areas and holding money and all that stuff. Like, I'm really fucking good at that. But the time where I lost my discipline and responsibility around that aspect is when I got hyped up with all the different ways to invest in business, because everyone's looking to pitch you into something. And if you're not careful, you may fall in the trap of thinking of sort of outsourcing those outside investments rather than taking responsibility for who you are. So if I were to look back in my past, when I really took the leap going into business full time and making a ton of investments and things of that nature, you know, I would say to myself, like, you get to take it slower. You get to have financial boundaries. Yes, it's awesome that you're investing in high ticket. You probably don't have to pay $5,000 for a fucking website. Or you don't need to have like three coaches at the same time. And I think it's an easy trap for people to think that if they throw enough money at a situation, that it's going to immediately pay off or be an immediate ROI. And I also think that goes on in a lot of marketing as well. So I think like a lot of coaches and other types of service providers will market in a way to make it seem like they're the magic pill, or, you know, you're going to get those results. You know, we're even taught to write headlines to get XYZ within 30 days or less or whatever the fuck. You know, that's a compelling headline. But you got to understand that every human being is unique. You know, it's sort of like, I don't know why I like using different examples, but it's sort of like if you're trying to build the physique you want, you're not going to lose weight at the same rate as somebody else. You know, you have different genes, you have different habits, you have different stress levels. You know, you have different circumstances, you have a different lifestyle, you might be starting at a different start point. The same thing goes for business. Like, if you're told that you're going to increase your engagement or increase your cash flow in a certain amount of time, one thing to take into consideration in that moment is, like, there's some people that will join that program who have invested, who've been trying at it for years, who have mastered certain things in their life, and that was a one missing piece that blows up their business. and changes everything. For other people, you may be, you know, they may be brand new and there's a lot of pieces that need to be filled. And perhaps they're like in a part of their life. Like, for instance, my example of in my life, I said I wanted to, you know, manifest a certain amount of money and I wanted a lifestyle that I wanted and I wanted to live in a house that I'm living in today and things of that nature. And when I asked the universe that, the universe or God or however you would like to identify that with, responded basically in the way of like, okay, that's cool, but first we got to clear all this stuff out that's not aligned, right? And that took me on like a one year or two year detour. And the thing is I wouldn't see that come into, you know, I wouldn't see this life come into fruition if I didn't stick to the plan and trust that things were going to work out in that moment. So it's like the same thing when you make an investment for yourself, you're going to find some of your peers, they may take off quickly. And then you might see some people, including yourself, you could be like, why isn't this happening fast enough yet? But you know what I found? I found when I was in the moment and life wasn't coming together the way that I wanted to, if I was counting by the days, it seemed very slow. But then when things started moving and things started shifting in my life and I look back, I'm like, damn, I can't believe I did that in 2 years. I can't believe that all of this changed. I can't believe that I'm in this house right now. I can't believe that I'm in the relationship I'm in right now. I can't believe that I'm about to get married to the love of my life right now. Because it was only, you know, a few years ago where it felt like my life was in balance and things were shifting and I was unsure what was going on. But all I had to do was stay grounded and trust. And all I had to do was like, you know what? I'm going to stick to my commitments. I'm going to stick to, you know, feeding my soul with what I need. I'm going to continue with my meditations, my journaling, my exercise, growing my business, and intentionally putting my message out there. Even if I don't see the entire picture, I'm going to trust. And I was pulled out of, you know, like I've overcome some of the most amazing things and face my deepest and darkest fears in that process. So we got to get ourselves away from this microwave mentality that I had to get results like yesterday. And everything that you invest in, everything that you commit to, gets to be a brick that lays down in your foundation. And you just trust and you know that that adds to a compound effect of what you're creating. And even that change in mentality will help bring you into the receptive mode even faster. Because when you have that mentality, you're in the mode of appreciation and things, you know, things in front of you start working for you even better. And the creativity starts to flow. You know, one of the things that I used to fear is I would go to a retreat and I feared like, what if I forget what happened here? You know, what if I forget it and then I don't get the results and then I'm, you know, $7,000 in the hole. The thing is, it's impossible because I was having an experience throughout my body. There's events and experiences I've gone to that changed my life forever. And even if I tried, I couldn't forget it or, you know, devolve or revert, you know, like I couldn't. It has its ripple effects. I already had the in-body experience. It's already integrated into my DNA. So there's no way, you know, it's you know, it's like, it's kind of like going to the gym and then wondering like, you know, if I lift weights, what if I just don't get stronger? Well, if you're actually challenging yourself and you're actually going through the motions, it's going to happen. You're going to see some improvements. It's like, it's like, what if I walk outside and there's no gravity, right? So, you know, that's my thing there. But going on into the coach portion of this, I want to go into that too as well, because people mentioned coaches or leaders who are unprofessional. And that's a big thing as well. And like one of the big things I see sometimes or hear stories about is someone hires an expert or a coach, and then they feel like they're spending all their emotional labor holding space for them. Or that coach can't put their bullshit aside to actually lead that person. And then you might see things like the same things, late for calls, you know, doesn't even fucking remember the container they're in and all that stuff. And hey, if you're a successful business owner, you have a lot going on, and it's fair that you're not going to always keep track of everything. And that's why you hire a fucking assistant or get the support that you need, right? But however, with this being said, and I want to say this for the leaders out there who may be afraid of dropping the ball, the leader out there who may be listen to this and maybe it's like really getting you extra hyper focus, because there is a type of person, if I teach this message, if I spread this message to you about discipline and professionalism, if you're already hard on yourself and already kind of militant, then that will be detrimental to you. So I want to make this clear that you can be imperfect. You're allowed to mess up. And I've seen some of the most successful business owners sometimes have to reschedule calls, you know, sometimes lose track of something, sometimes dropping a ball. But what makes a difference is what your overall identity is and your overall commitments are. And your communication as well. So the one thing I would like to say is that when you are messaging in a way where you're building trust with your audience, but you're also magnetizing to your audience and they love who you are and they respect you as a leader and that respect is earned, and they've gotten so much value from you already, you've built a lot of equity. So for instance, you know, some of my favorite coaches, one of my favorite coaches, she sometimes would totally forget about the live stream in the mastermind. Or, you know, maybe show up 5 minutes late because, you know, like didn't track time perfectly. She was able to get away with that because there was already a level of respect and connection and value. Like I've already felt like I've gotten so much value from her and I was excited to be on the call. And there, you know, there's so much trust built up. So she can afford to have one slip up and not be catastrophic. And I want to say that to you because, you know, if you're putting your best foot forward and you're showing up and you're providing value and you have a level of consistency, another thing is she has a level of consistency and competence in her business, like building a 7-figure empire and just like, you know, so much that is inspiring about that, but also helpful. And like, it's one, you know, like there's more forgiveness if she slipped up a little bit than if somebody who's like completely don't have their shit together and then they're like, oh fuck, it's Tuesday, my bad. And then also it's how it's communicated, right? For both the client side and the coach side. You know, if it's like that person I mentioned where it's like shows up to the call like 2 and some change late to the call and act like nothing happened, it's like, what the fuck, dude? But if you're somebody who's like, you know, best case scenario is beforehand, you're like, hey, I'm running 5 minutes late. I'm so sorry. You know, I don't want to disrespect your time, blah, blah, blah. Then that kind of softens the energy of the professionalism, right? It's like, okay, humans make mistakes. Thank you for letting me know. But if there's like a level of entitlement there where it's like, fuck you, I'm late and you got to deal with it. It's like, what? So that's what I wanted to say. And I also wanted to say, like, as a leader, there's a thing, you know, when you position yourself right, people are very forgiving of you. And you can mess up in different ways where people forgive you. That's just how it is. But I think you should use that power responsibly and to never take your audience for granted, never take your clients for granted, and value the fuck out of every dollar that comes into your business. Because there's a story to every dollar, every investment. Someone could make a high ticket investment and maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just a drop in the bucket for them. Somebody could make a more low ticket investment and that could have been everything for them. But the point is, no matter what it is, you let the people in front of you know that they're in good hands. They're in good hands and you're there and you're committed and you're there to over-deliver in a healthy way and make it seem like they got a steal from the experience that they paid for. That should be the ultimate goal. So that's what I wanted to announce there. Like, you know, I just wanted to go deeper in to, like, yes, have fun. Have a good fucking time. Have a silly goose time on the internet. Make a podcast like this and talk a lot of shit and go on some ramblings. Get into your creativity. Be inappropriate. Be the artist that you were meant to be. But when it comes down to business, show people that you're the real deal. Show people that you're competent. Show people that you got your shit together. Like, you don't have to be a perfect human being, right? You could be crying your eyes out of something that's going on in your life and dealing with something in your life. But when it comes to you showing up for your client, or if it comes to you to, you know, just show up for this for yourself, then use that focus to not let your bullshit get in the way of that connection. Because right in that moment, if you're the leader of the situation, if you're the leader in the relationship, it's your job to lead in that moment, not for them to pick up your shit. Same thing goes when I talk about vulnerable posts. It's not your audience's job to throw you a pity party and pick up your shit. You're allowed to be human, but have some boundaries. Have some boundaries within your relationships. Let your clients relax, or the people that you're leading, however you want to identify them as, allow them to relax when they're in your space. And at the same time, if you're going to make a commitment to somebody who is helping lead you, make that commitment to yourself to keep yourself accountable and respect the money that you're investing. Because that person on the other side, not only you can feel it when you don't respect the money that you invest, but if the person on the other side has a fucking conscience, they can feel it too. And it feels icky where it's like, fuck, dude, like, you invested all this money. I thought you were serious and you're not even showing up on your end. And it's just a shitty entanglement to be part of. Even if like the money was enough to pay 5 mortgages, like, it's just like, it still feels shitty. You want that money to be clean. You want to know that you're providing a service that's changing somebody else's life. I love you too. Goodness. Rebecca has a feature in every podcast. Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Sweet fiance, soon to be wife. So anyway, that's the wrap up here for this episode. I hope you loved it. If you haven't rated my podcast, give it a 5-star rating on iTunes. But if you feel like okay about this podcast, or you hate it, go somewhere else. You know, don't bother me. Like, I just want a perfect rating. You know, you can private message. You don't have to tank my rating. If you just feel bland about it, you could just private message me and say you weren't feeling that great. And then I'll probably ignore your message. But also, a way to pay me back for this value, if you find this to be immense value, is to share this podcast. As of right now, and I don't really feel a desire to have many advertisements. I'm not going to make any promises, but as of right now, this is just like something where people can gain value from. If you want to work with me on a deeper level, join the Rebel Flow. That's going to be my course going on into this next year till March. I'm not going to have many other programs other than that. So if you want to get in on the live portion, we started already. But there's still time to catch up, and there's still time to get that live mastermind support in that program, while also having a 4-month program of material to help you show up unfiltered online like the badass that you were meant to be. But other than that, if you want to share some love and you're not looking to join no programs or nothing at all, just share this on your Instagram or your chosen platform. Let them know about this podcast. Let them know where they can follow me. Brandon Marshall Havener on every platform except Twitter. It's at Brandon M. Havener. And until next time, my friends, peace.